B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, May 3rd, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Microsoft has released guidelines on what trash talk is allowable on Xbox Live, you gosh darn noobs. Plus, could a pornographic game ever seen mainstream success? Seriously, that's what we're talking
about today.
Oh, yeah, my right. God. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Epic Games has announced that the World Cup will be held in Season 9 of Fortnite. This is important because the timing of the event had originally suggested that it would be held at the beginning of Season 10, once again forcing players to adopt a new meta mid-tournament. It looks like Epic may have finally learned their lesson on that and will extend Season 9 to accommodate the World Cup.
Well, that's finally the first positive thing right? that I've seen coming out of the Fortnite pro scene.
I will believe it when I see it, because this also, doesn't even necessarily say that even within Season 9 that they might
make
changes. Thank you. That they might introduce some new weapon or some new mechanic.
Now, typically, they don't make any gameplay changes at the end of a season. Usually, it's at the beginning of one. That said, yeah, time will tell. Blizzard has announced that this year's Overwatch League Finals will be held in Philadelphia. Last year's runner-up will play host to this year's finals at the Wells Fargo Center, which has a capacity of 19,500 people. It's worth noting that construction is underway on the Fusion Arena in Philadelphia, and that development of that project, along with reduced costs, were key factors in selecting the Wells Fargo Arena.
Listen, I think still that this is a great move, because outside of Texas, the next town I think of that would be an Overwatch town is Philadelphia.
Really?
We've seen and heard from a lot of fans out there, and Philadelphia was out in at Grand Finals in New York in full force.
That's true.
I mean, half of Brooklyn was Philly fans.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, Philadelphia sports fans are
loyal.
That's a word for it. I'd go with rabid.
Rabid?
But okay,
rabid.
Yeah, I'd go with rabid. Philadelphia is a big sports city, and it is definitely, I think, a good place to host it for your second year. Immortals recently raised $30 million in additional capital as they look to expand their esports operations. One of the major objectives with the fundraising round is to place a bid on Optic Gaming's LCS slot. Immortals were one of the teams left out when League of Legends franchise, which came as a shock given the team's success. In fact, they were at Worlds the year before they were basically left out of the league.
So how big of a deal is this?
I think it's a pretty big deal. I mean, Immortals was a team that kind of, near the end of the relegation model, began to really emerge and become a powerhouse team. Like I say, they made Worlds the year before they were basically left out in the cold with franchising. So I think it's a big deal to see them come back.
I mean, this is now the second team that we see buy their way back into.
Or attempt to, at least.
Yeah, at least attempt to, yeah. Do you think that there's a chance that we might see more of this as time moves on?
Well, there were three teams, I think it was, that were rumored to be possibly shopping their slot, and now we've obviously seen one with Dignitas and one with Immortals. There's a chance the third one goes too, but I think that would be it.
Interesting.
If, like everyone else, you were terrified of the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer,
he has individual teeth.
He does.
Like, separate individual teeth.
Yeah, the production team has heard you loud and clear. The director of the movie, Jeff Fowler, has confirmed that work is underway to improve the design of Sonic and make him less nightmare-inducing.
I think this is probably the right move for the studio.
Well, if you're going to spend as much money as you have making this movie, you might as well not let it bomb because your Sonic is a Cthulhu horror.
The question is, what we end up getting next, will it be closer to what we want, or is there a chance they could screw it up?
See, that's
more?
My worry, is the fact that they could go back and they could do a worse job.
Here's the thing. You guys remember when Overwatch first came out and people thought one of Tracer's poses was too sexy, and Blizzard's like, we hear you, we'll fix it. And then what came out was even sexier.
Yeah.
That's true. Here's the thing, though, okay? Like, I don't know that, because I've gone back and watched the trailer a couple of times,
yeah,
and people are actually excited about Jim Carrey's Robotnik.
They are.
I'm more worried about the film because of his Robotnik than I am necessarily even about the Sonic design.
I
going back and now watching, because it's been memed 100 times as well, the scene between him and the general where he's just basically doing the Rock, I can't now get that out. It's so hacky and bad and stupid that I just don't know that I'm going to be able to see past it to see any of its other positive qualities.
Interesting.
I don't know that I even, like, Sonic is not even a franchise that I would have put out there that I ever wanted to see a movie of.
That's fair. Which, you know what I mean? I don't think you should be expecting more than just
I understand that. But it's like
what 70-year-old in a boardroom says, the kids still like video games, don't they? Get that hedgehog. Like, that's what it sounds like. Some 70-year-old sat and said, oh, yeah, I remember my son, who's now 40, used to play Sonic the Hedgehog back in the day.
Now,
exactly. I think I can hit the nostalgia
button. So lower your expectations even further.
That said, there's people at Sonic Team who keep putting out games and still have a job. So clearly the whole franchise is messed
up. How many of them have been good within the last 15 years?
That's what I'm saying. There hasn't been one since... Well, I guess Sonic Mania recently was pretty good, but that wasn't made by Sonic Team.
There's not even interest in the franchise enough to justify this. They're trying to make the nostalgia play, which was clear by their selection of Gangsta's Paradise for the friggin' music.
That was so weird.
It's confusing, and I just I
it's stupid.
It's bad.
You're going to watch the fire burn. That's it.
Activision Blizzard has confirmed the first five teams that will be involved in the Call of Duty World League. They include franchises in Atlanta, Dallas, New York, Paris, and Toronto. It's unsurprising that the first team is willing to pony up the $25 million price tag were teams already involved in the Overwatch League.
Wow. Still no Midwest representation.
No. Nope. I mean, like I said this to Norris earlier today, it's not too surprising that the first teams that were like given the slot to would be the Overwatch League teams.
No, that makes sense.
Especially the ones who are maybe now investing in an arena to put an esports event in.
Oh, sure. No, that makes a ton of sense. It's just, I don't know.
I want the next five teams, and I want a Detroit team.
Being from the Midwest, even if it was Call of Duty, a game that I actually have no love for at all,
I'd still go watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Speaking of Call of Duty, the franchise passed a major milestone. They've become a member of the 300 million club. That is to say, franchises that have moved over 300 million units. While not every franchise is super transparent with those numbers, both Pokemon and Sonic the Hedgehog are confirmed to be members.
Well, look at that. It just shuts me up about all of my complaints about, well, even is Sonic the Hedgehog even really relevant enough?
Sonic has actually moved 350 million, actually.
That's actually... But so many of those units came bundled with the system.
Genesis, yeah.
So
at least I think Sonic Adventure was bundled with Dreamcast too.
Was it?
Yeah. So there's
how many Dreamcasts actually sold?
Yeah, good.
That's
point.
Like what, 20,000?
Yeah, the 150 Dreamcasts that were sold.
Good point. But at least for Genesis and Genesis.
Yeah, and Genesis. That's really it. Lastly, we have sad news to report, as the original actor who played Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, has passed away at the age of 74.
I was in the same room as him. I didn't get to meet him.
Aww.
I was busy meeting Billy Dee Williams.
Oh,
which
Orlando.
Is just as cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
But he was at Alamo City Comic Con the year that I was there, and
that's cool.
He's impossible to miss because he's
like
he's a giant.
Yeah.
The amount of like fan art I've seen of like Leia like hugging Chewie at the gate is heartbreaking.
Yeah. And that's all for the PG-13 Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. We're now a week away from Detective Pikachu, with the first spoiler-free reviews coming in and talking pretty positively about it. It's got people wondering if this is the film that can actually break the movie curse. So, guys, I'm asking you to put your cards on the table. What does this movie have to accomplish to get your stamp of approval?
approval.
Ah, so that we can't move the goalposts after the movie comes out, eh? Okay. So, yeah, what does this movie have to do so that I will say it has broken the curse? Okay, here's what it has to do. 3 days later, I have to still think it's a good movie.
Okay.
That's what it is for me. Because I've walked out of video game movies like at the theater and been like, I really enjoyed that. And then on maybe a second watch or as soon as I think about it, I'm like, wait a minute.
We have to remember, first of all, that despite the presence of Ryan Reynolds, this is a movie for children.
Right. It is not Deadpool 3.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so let's like put all of that kind of expectation aside. We have to go into it with reasonable expectations.
And with that said, I think for me, it has to take my old 31-year-old ass and make me laugh.
You have to laugh out loud.
If it makes me laugh out loud more than once.
Because I've seen some bad movies that have had a good... Like, yes. Let me tell you something. The Master of Disguise. One of the worst movies ever.
Terrible movie. But
had a moment that I laughed once.
It gets you... Sometimes those movies do that.
If it does that and I feel genuinely entertained... This is a good movie.
I'm gonna piggyback that, Norris, but I'm gonna caveat it one more. Okay. Right? The Pokemon outside of Ryan Reynolds' Pikachu has to make me laugh.
So that you can be assured in your mind this isn't just Ryan Reynolds.
Listen, there's already one laugh that's built in with Ludicolo. I know it's already going to be there. I already love him. He's my spirit animal.
All right, yeah. Okay. I think for me, we're already at a point that they're getting better. I mean, even with Tomb Raider, for example, like that was a perfectly watchable, fine
action movie.
Movies right now, when I look at them, the problems I have with them aren't anything that's intrinsically a problem with video game movie. It's problems that all movies have. So for me, when it's all said and done, I have to walk away and not be able to pick out a point where I'm like, that there was a direction that came from a board of Hollywood executives. It's like, we need this so that we can hit this demographic.
You don't want the tomb or the Lara Croft and her father moment.
Exactly. You don't want the paint by numbers action flick.
Okay.
Yep. Or kids flick. No, I feel you. Here's one last thing. Is that the Pokemon who are not Pikachu need to also be just as charming and endearing. Like, if those Pokemon feel like the Greninjas jumping through the woods and stuff, that feels like that's what Greninjas would be doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Mr. Mime is pretty spot on.
It's pretty fitting, yeah.
I just want it to feel like the world of Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's Rhyme City. I want it to feel like a region. Yeah.
It's a fairly low bar to clear.
Yeah.
Right?
Make me feel like this reality could exist.
Like, dude, I got back into Pokemon in my 30s, right? Yeah. Like, that feeling is not hard to inspire. It's pretty close to the surface. Don't got to dig deep through years of cynicism to be able to hit
it. For me, man.
Let's get it. Like, that's what I need to see. So, listen, we want to hear from you. What do you need to see out of Detective Pikachu for it to get your stamp of approval? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. And Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily. I can't believe that we're actually going to talk about this. Could a pornographic video game ever actually see success in the mainstream? Because there's one that actually might. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Microsoft has released a list of acceptable forms of trash talk on Xbox Live. We'll have some fun with it ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I wanted to get everyone listening at WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is a part of the Bpod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. Trash talk is an inherent part of gaming culture. However, for over a decade, Xbox Live has been known for taking things way too far. And then by that, I mean the users of Xbox Live. The stereotype of the 10-year-old dropping F-bombs was literally born out of Xbox Live. I remember those exact X-Play segments that you're referencing.
Uh-huh.
In an attempt to address this, Microsoft has put out a list of acceptable forms of trash talk.
This should be golden.
And to preface this, on a conceptual level of Microsoft wanting to address maybe, you know, the proper ways of talking to each other on Xbox Live, I think is a laudable goal, if not 14 years too late. But I think on its face, what they're trying to do is a sensible thing.
So we got some examples of what Microsoft would like you to say in terms of your trash talk.
Yes.
Some acceptable trash talk, yes.
Like, get destroyed. I can't believe you thought you were on my level.
Whoa, 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 with the language.
Get destroyed.
What is this?
All right,
what,
listen.
Get destroyed.
Get destroyed.
We all speak for a living, right? That's our job. Let's try to make that work. Can we try to, Robbie, you went to college for acting.
Oh,
can you try to make that line work for us?
I actually like the next one. I'm going to use the next one instead.
Okay. Okay. Right. Imagine that you're speaking to, I don't know, Noob Master 69.
All right. Yeah. Joe, that was some potato aim. Get wrecked.
It's not moving the needle for me.
That was some serious potato aim. Okay, usually when they say potato, aren't they referring to like your computer or your internet connection?
Yes.
Well, just sort of, no, hold on, because like in general, when you talk about like, you know, like potato, I've seen it used in terms of cosplay. Like, you know, you go to conventions, you see people with these beautiful cosplays, and here I am, a potato with a cape.
Okay, all right. I got you now. All right.
Or potato resolution, I've heard that as well.
Yeah. All right.
The lowest quality, basically.
Norris, did you want to step up to the plate?
Yeah,
did you want to
I'll take the next one because it quotes Sagat from Street Fighter. The only reason you went positive was you spent all game camping. Try again, kid.
That's not trash talk. That's like litter talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? I don't know.
That's a crumpled up McDonald's napkin of trash.
Yes. that you threw at the bin and it missed. You got to go and pick it back up again to make sure you get it.
That's your guy in was it Boston or New York, who just didn't want to litter.
They want to litter. Chase the bottle down the block.
Well, I think they saved their strongest worded one for the last one.
Well, there's two's left still.
I
want to try one of these.
Go for it.
All right. Cheap win. Come at me when you can actually drive without running cars off the road.
See, all right. If somebody said that to me in real life, I'm cussing back at them because you didn't come properly.
Is that referencing the fact that they're not old enough to drive a car or referencing the fact that they were playing a driving game and he was bad?
I don't know. It could be
either or, I guess.
Okay, Nate, what's the last one?
All right, the last one. That sucked. Get good and come back when your KD's over one.
All right,
wow,
hold
that
on.
Sucked.
Hold on.
That's pretty.
Fam, how did Nate figure out a way to sound like the movie phone guy?
It's a talent that I have. It's an amazing talent.
That was
talent.
So bizarre.
I know, right?
But yeah, that sucked.
So apparently, things going too far are, you know, like, get sexual threat. I love these.
You gotta say get sexual threat. Can't believe you thought you were on my level.
Hey, profanity. That was some serious potato aim. Get wrecked, trash.
Well, wait a minute. They didn't say trash on the acceptable version. Can you not say trash?
You can't call someone trash?
It's
literally called trash talk.
Listen, Microsoft, that's trash.
That is trash.
You are trash.
Only reason you went positive was you spent all game camping. KYS, kid. Okay, geez.
I mean, that one's pretty... pretty heavy.
I get it. Okay.
Hitting somebody with a KY
cheap win
is not cool.
Totally expected from a racial slur.
Yep. Let's not do that one.
It's probably not a good idea.
See, look. The ones that they don't want you to say are very apparent why. Like, no problem. Yeah. You guys hit that one on the head, but trying to give the acceptable trash talk.
Yeah. Like, this is the point.
If your trash talk is relegated to the field of play, it does not include someone's race, sexual orientation, gender, whatever. If it doesn't include none of that, right?
And you're not telling them to harm themselves.
That, I mean, everything else we would agree is pretty fair game, right?
What does Microsoft gain by putting this out is my question. Like,
publicity and headlines.
I mean, they just look absolutely ridiculous.
Every other conversation we've had about Xbox recently has been, man, they really need to do something. Man, Xbox ain't looking too hot right now. Man, E3 better be a win. We at least gave them some other type of energy other than that.
You're saying the idea behind this was to get people to not trash on their content and instead trash on this?
Probably.
This is a scapegoated article?
That's a bit conspiratorial. I don't know how much I believe that.
I got my tinfoil hat on.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on News Talk 820 AM WWBA in Tampa, Sports Talk 1080 The Team in Orlando, and News Talk 1060 WIXC in Melbourne, Florida. We're talking about the quote-unquote acceptable trash talk guidelines that Microsoft had put out.
Norris, you come out of the FGC, right?
Oh, yes.
You come out of a section of the esports community that is notorious for trash talk, mm-hmm. that is notorious for
very,
the pop-off.
Very passionate.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how would that reaction, this list, go over in that community? Because, I mean, I kind of feel like even in the FGC, there's a line, right?
There is a line, and people usually know, you know, when that goes way too far, which is why I said when it's, you know, somebody's
like throwing a crab.
Throwing any shellfish.
Anything, but any of that kind of stuff. This wouldn't even be a serious thing. If Capcom put out something like this, literally every response will be laden with expletives.
So here's the question, though. So we've seen now this move from Microsoft. Only time will tell if they actually start to enforce this a little bit more meaningfully.
Right.
But we've also seen the meaningful censorship from Sony for content on its platform
as well. Recently denied, by the way.
Here's what I don't understand. Why is these companies and contents making those shifts when still the vast majority of consumers of video games are adults? I understand wanting to get out in front of certain controversies, of course.
Well, but there's a bit of like course correcting for the culture, I think, that is trying to be done, because I think that there's a lot of people who can identify that there is something deeply, fundamentally, you know, amiss inside of gamer culture.
Well,
and
when I went on Xbox Live that, wait, this can't be right.
Right. This can't be representative of the people that are out there.
But at the same time, my experience is merely a representation of all the other heinous stuff I see in real life. It's the world itself in a miniature, so I didn't expect anything else. So that's why I think, for as much as I want stuff like this to happen in a more intelligent way,
sure,
and something that doesn't necessarily pander or talk down, I do think that it's still important that, you know, game creators and people who consume games aren't getting a sterilized version of what could be, you know, really great stuff.
And it's a sterilized, an attempt to sterilize the community too, which I think is, I don't know, a little bit odd, and I have some skepticism about. But listen, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there. We want to hear from you. What do you think about these gosh darn new policies about language that Xbox wants to tell you how to talk? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next, Subverse is one of the most successful games ever on Kickstarter, but could a pornographic game ever see mainstream success? Stick around.
Yes.
Stick around. That discussion is ahead next, and make sure you have hand sanitizer. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP 2.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
Backstage CageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on our officially partner Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including two brand new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. You can celebrate the launch of the new Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective with the brand new Sarah emote. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com and Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Kickstarter has helped hundreds of games find funding when major studios won't take a chance on them. But recently, a game called Subverse has raised nearly $2 million to complete its development. But here's the thing.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
There's a really good reason that a major studio wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
There's all the reasons.
It's a porno game.
Yep. It is a pornographic game, for sure. And before we get too deep into this, we do need to go ahead and acknowledge...
Damn it, Joe!
Sorry.
I'm out!
We do need to acknowledge that the company that is making this game has a history of making some pretty reprehensible videos. We are not condoning those videos in any way, but we do need to talk about this game because here's the issue. A lot of people are, and that's not a common thing for adult-only themed games. In fact, there's a website called N4G, which if you follow that website at all, one of the nice things about it is they use a kind of a degree tracker to show how many people are clicking on the article and interacting with it. This is the second most interacted with gaming story of the week.
Ooh.
So, we got to talk about it.
Yeah, $2 million, almost 60,000 backers.
Yeah, so Subverse is a game that appeared on Kickstarter to basically finish development of the game. It actually has a lot of development already done, but they wanted to get a kickstart to basically finish the development of the game. And yeah, to your point, it is now closed. Over $1.8 million raised, over 60,000 backers. This is the 18th most successful video game ever on Kickstarter.
And somehow I'm not surprised in the slightest.
What actually surprises me the most about it, because you know when you say that it's a pornographic game, you'd probably just imagine some clicking and getting right to the.
I can't wait to figure out how this ends. Go ahead, keep talking.
But there's actual like real gameplay.
The gameplay is based off XCOM.
XCOM, yeah. Bullet Hell, like dual stick shooters. Like there's real video game.
There's some video gaming in here. But here's the thing.
Get your video games out of my porn.
Okay, so it's not just a visual novel.
No, it is not.
Okay. Which has been detriment to many of these other types of games previously.
Well, the game itself is a space thriller, I guess. It's taking cues from things like Star Trek.
It's a Mass Effect.
It looks a lot like Mass Effect.
XCOM. They even send some shots at BioWare in their trailer. Saying that you can pick from one of three color choice endings.
Yeah, one of them. They said they guaranteed they would have at least three different colored endings for this game. Yes. And that's kind of the thing is when you watch it, of course, we all started watching the trailer kind of like, all right, this will be good for a laugh at least. Little did we know, actually, it was very funny.
Self-aware. Here's the disarming part about it is that it's so self-aware and builds the self-awareness into the product enough that it comes off as endearing.
It's kind of Deadpool-ish.
It's charming.
In its Kickstarter and throughout the trailer that it had, it almost became a meta narrative on, like, just video games in general.
Whether they joke about microtransactions, because they take shots at pay-to-win mechanics.
Here's the thing. This is exactly the stuff that you want to hear out of other games
companies
that you actually do care about.
That's the thing.
That's the part that kind of eats at me, because it's like, man, if I had heard the same kinds of stuff out of other game developers,
I would be
really behind the project. Are we entering a bizarre age, where Larry Flint with Penthouse was like a beacon for free speech in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, okay.
Are we coming to a point where the only game developers that have any kind of ethical game design are also game designing for sex
purposes? They're making sleaze, effectively.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, as I watched the trailer for this, I couldn't help but think back to the first time I saw the Devolver Digital press conference.
It was a little similar.
It's poking fun at the video gaming space in general.
Yeah, it was a very truth to power kind of moment, the Devolver Digital conference.
So I guess the question is, could we ever see a game like this get any kind of mainstream success? So that's the question.
I mean, it depends on what our definition of mainstream success is, because if it sells, I think this has gotten enough press to make the sales.
Yeah, I think it is already a success unto itself. I'm going to say not without consequence.
If Fox News thought Mass Effect was an alien sex simulator, buckle up.
And here's really the thing is that, you start to really get into the area of, like, is this a product that's in any way being marketed towards kids?
Yep.
Then the conversation about whether video games are inherently a medium that targets children is going to be up for debate again. And this time it's not going to surround violence, it's going to surround sex. And we know that Americans have a whole lot more cultural hang-ups about sex than they do about violence. Because violence has been associated with the First Amendment in a way that sex has never been.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is we still see sex as this big cultural taboo in North America. And to that end, that's where I don't think this game ends up seeing any kind of mainstream success, because I do feel like too many websites will ignore it. They'll just say, like, oh, it's a porn game, we're not touching that.
But the moment that it became, you know, games underground groundswell outside of the gaming industry, I think that does open it up for kind of a more potential thing.
Question.
You know what I mean?
Was Leisure Suit Larry a mainstream success?
No.
It sold a lot of copies comparative to Ultima when they were contemporaries.
At
the same time, it was one of those kind of cultural touchstones where people started questioning, like, wait a minute, is that an appropriate thing to have in a video game? Here's the other problem, too. When I look at this game, I sit here and genuinely worry it's going to be better than Mass Effect Andromeda was.
Don't say things that hurt, Joe.
It only hurts because you watched the show and thought, actually, that could happen.
I know.
This could be end up being a better game. And if it is, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do about that as a Mass Effect fan.
No, but I think you guys bring up a good
point. Especially because they didn't call it
Ass Effect. This ruined me. Anyway, but I think Nate brings up a very good point, is that this will be used as not only a touchstone for looking at gaming, but I think also that if it becomes this underground groundswell, I don't think it needs to be necessarily quote-unquote mainstream success. I think if it makes back the money it did on Kickstarter plus its development cost, if it can turn actual profit.
If they can make another game, then I would say that they're successful.
If they can make another game, it's a success.
This goes into early access next month.
Wow.
Yeah. Get ready,
guys.
You know what?
Somebody in our chat said the porno game could come out before Star Citizen.
That's exactly what's happening. Yeah. And one of the things on the page that really made me realize I wish more companies were like this, specifically talking about why they don't have any digital products or any physical products coming out for their Kickstarter, is they're like, if we take money from you to make a game, we feel that all that money should go towards making the game.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of stuff in there that's really, really positive and stuff that I would love to hear from other game developers. hours. But listen, we got to leave the discussion right there. We want to hear from you. What do you think about this? What do you make of this?
Are you going to play?
Could this end up being any kind of success? Does this interest you? Connect with us on social media. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.